Jamie's.
Oh, I know. I'm driving, I'm drinking.
morning, everyone. We're going to call a meeting of the Board of Supervisors to order. Today is Thursday, September 7th, 2017. It is just after 8:30 a.m. We're in the community center at the Sierra Room at 851 East William Street. Could we have a roll call, Sue, for the record, please?
Good morning, Supervisor Bowd.
Here.
Supervisor Bonkowski.
Here.
Supervisor Bagwell.
Here.
Supervisor Barrett.
Here.
Mayor Kroll. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Can we call on our good friend Leslie Sear, of the Salvation Army, to get us started this morning? And good morning, Leslie. How are you? There you go.
Good morning. Won't you please pray with me? Our gracious Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the leaders of our city and for their commitment to its prosperity. And we ask, Lord, that you would grant them wisdom and understanding as they seek the best for Carson City and its people. We ask, Lord, for your presence and guidance in the events of today and for your blessings to abound here. Lord, our hearts are with our fellow countrymen who are suffering due to the natural disasters, the hurricanes in the south, and the fires that are close to home. We pray for those that are afflicted, for your divine assistance, and for strength and perseverance for those who have responded to meet the needs of the day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Leslie. And tell Mark he can be double booked anytime as long as he sends you.
Thank
All
you
right.
very much.
Sheriff, would you lead us in the pledge this morning, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, we'll now move on to item five, public comment. This is a time for the public to comment on and discuss any topic as relevant to or within the authority of the body of this body. We also take public comment as we go through the board agenda items where they are appropriate. So public comment, we're now open for public comment. Anybody? Got a lot of blue back there. All right. All right. I don't see any public comment this morning, but as I said, if you wish, you can come up during each of the agenda items where appropriate. Okay, let's take up item six, possible agenda adoption of the minutes of August 3rd. Everybody had a chance to look at those? Motion's in order.
I move to approve the minutes of the Carson City Board of Supervisors for August 3rd, 2017 as presented.
There's a motion and a second on the motion. Discussion? I don't know. Is there a button coming up on this one?
I'll fix it. Sorry.
Wait a minute.
Nope.
Hang on a minute, folks.
I'll have to fix it, Mayor. If you could just move forward, I'll fix what's wrong.
All right.
Thank you.
For everybody, so we know we're working through the electronics of electronic voting and stuff up here. So all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Okay. Let's... Now move on to the agenda. Any changes?
No change.
Okay. Board members, any change? Anybody? I don't see any. Members of the public, anybody? Okay, then unless there's an objection, we will take the agenda as published. Now let's move on to item number eight. This is special presentations, and this is a very special one for Carson City. This is where CareFlight will present to the Carson City Fire Department the Golden Rotor Award. And I know we got the chief and a lot of folks in blue here. I'd like to call on Ron Walter, Marcus Dorsey Hurt, and Temple Fletcher. I hope I got everybody's name right from CareFlight. Come on up, folks. Mark, yeah?
Yeah, we'll stand.
Well, I'm not used to this. Anyway, Ron Walter, I'm the executive director for CareFlight.
Let's do it like this so we can... get you on TV here.
You want to do it this way?
Can we have all the guys, folks in blue, the men and women in blue, come on up here, and then you guys just make a presentation looking towards us, and we'll be here.
Okay.
Okay. Come on up here, everybody in blue, up in front of the dais here.
That'll work.
Alone green.
Yeah, right there. That's perfect. Yeah.
You want to look that way? All right. I want to
want to start by saying that I'm Ron Walter, the executive director for CareFlight. Marcus Dersey-Hurt is our chief flight nurse. We've got Temple Fletcher, who is one of our managers for CareFlight on compliance, and then our flight crew, which is Rhiannon and Stuart, that were on the call. But the Golden Rotor Award is something that CareFlight has done for a long time, and I have to say Temple has done a lot of work on that, and I'd like to have her explain why we do it and what it means.
Thank you. So first of all, I want to say that for over 36 years, CareFlight has worked with and side by side with Carson City Fire, and it is a pleasure to be able to do this because I've actually participated and witnessed Carson City Fire Department over those almost 36 years with how professional they are and how wonderful it is to work with them. So I really do appreciate that. And as far as the Golden Rotor Award, I'll explain. Each quarter or year that we do, we actually have the staff, the line staff, submit letters of people that they want. So on the behalf of CareFlight, it's a great honor to announce that you have been selected as recipients of the Golden Rotor Award for the excellence in this quarter. This award was created by the team of CareFlight to recognize those outside our organization who go above and beyond in delivering the highest level of care for patients in Northern Nevada and California. So the nominating staff here nominated Carson City Fire for a call, and their nomination, just to let you know, was up against fierce competition for this award and receives an overwhelming majority of the vote of CareFlight staff because they vote on it. We want to recognize their outstanding effort, your outstanding effort, and admire your organization with the endless devotion and valued contribute to the citizens in need of your service. And like I said, I've witnessed both the management leadership of Carson City Fire and the line staff, and I'm very proud to be working alongside you. And I'd like to turn this over to the staff and let them read what they wrote.
All right, so as Ron said, my name is Rhiannon. I was the flight paramedic that responded to this call, and this is Stuart, who is the nurse that was working with me. Just a brief of what happened that day. On May 10th, Stuart and myself responded to rendezvous with the Carson City Fire Department for the report of a patient who had fallen down a ventilation shaft. The patient experienced life-threatening hemorrhage due to pelvic and leg injuries. The action of the Carson City Fire Department in rapidly extricating and transporting the patient truly averted a negative outcome for this patient. The crew that we interacted with on scene were professional and exceptionally helpful while we stabilized and prepared the patient for transport. The outstanding knowledge base of the firefighters and rescue techniques allowed the patient to be seen at a trauma center in time for life-saving surgical interventions. The teamwork and interactions of this department exemplified the goals of pre-hospital medicine. And we definitely would like to thank you guys. We do get to work with a lot of departments, and truly it is our pleasure to work with you guys. You allow us to do great things for patients because you can do exceptional skills that we're not allowed to do before we get there with the patients. So we really do want to thank you guys for what you did that day.
So, like Ron to present to, can Kevin, Chad, Matthew, Jesse, and Jody come up? His whole family is here to say thank you.
While Anthony's shaking some hands here, we were surprised to see him today because he just got out of the hospital last week This occurred in May, and he's had 6 surgeries since then. He's been extremely grateful for the services that the city fire and paramedic service provided to him. And from what I've learned, a lot of training, went to good work, was a kind of an odd and interesting call, but they work quickly, and the training shows. So thank you very much, Chief, for all your good work. Thanks.
It's not like Carson City Fire Department hasn't had any fires to take care of. I mean, I know you guys have been slacking off a little bit, but,
Now you've just done it to us.
Mayor, I didn't know if you wanted the patient to say anything.
Yes, yes. Okay. It's okay.
Huh?
Fine. You bet.
Anthony?
Hang on.
Come on up. I know you wanted to give some thanks to these guys.
Let's make sure we can get you on camera. There you go. Okay.
I'd like to take this time to thank all these fine people for saving my life. On behalf of my family and I, we're truly indebted to you all for the service you provide us all and everybody in the community. There's not enough words for things I could say to show my appreciation. But thank you. We thank you. And if there's anything I can do while I'm still here on this earth, I'd be more than happy to try to help out, do what I can. You all have all my information and everything, so I'll probably be stopping in and visiting you guys from time to time once I get back to work and getting back on my feet. It's going to take a little bit, but we're in the right direction, going in the right direction. So I want to thank you all for saving my life one more time, but I'll never stop thanking you all in my prayers. And my hope is that all of you and your loved ones will always be kept safe and protected. Thank you again.
That's what makes a community, folks. That's good. All right. Okay. We'll now move on to the consent agenda. Any member of the public want anything pulled off for special consideration? Individual hearing? Any member of the board? Not, the motion's in order for the approval of the consent agenda. Somebody want to do it?
I move to approve the consent agenda consisting of one item from finance, one item from purchasing contracts, and 2 items from the Sheriff's Department.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye. Yes.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Motion passed. Thank you very much. Okay. Now let's take up item 13. This is a potential approval of the recommended fire department reorganization or restructuring. Chief, you going to do this?
Yes.
All right, bring up your folks. You're going to let Arneson take the take since he's retiring, you're going to let him take a few bullets, huh?
Exactly. He's caused this. Mayor and members of the board,
Sean Slamon, your fire chief, and thank you for allowing us to be here today. Still a little, it's not often you see the patient that you rescue, that your team rescues, come up and thank you. And that was, in my 30 years, I can say that was a first, to have somebody in a shaft behind a wall in between floors. A very unique situation. And I'd been on the job probably a good old 3 weeks, and to see the teamwork, and not just on the rescue effort, but on the medicine side, that truly made a difference in that man's life. And that is absolutely an amazing event. So thank you.
Congratulations on behalf of all of us to your department and your staff. It's I mentioned just briefly, you know, that's what makes a community, and that's truly what makes a community. People working together, people looking out after each other. And so, you know, our hats are off to all of you folks, and I want you to take that back to all to all of your group there. You know, and I made a little facetious comment that, you know, you haven't had much to do here lately. But we all appreciate and understand what, you know, what's gone on from all of our, you know, all of our first responders, from, you know, the fire, cops, police, to the public works folks, to everybody in Carson City, to the volunteers. That's what makes things happen here. I mean, we've avoided some tremendous disasters that could have been disasters. And it's because of the hard work and teamwork of not just, you know, in this community, but the communities around us have come to help us out. And you don't get that kind of cooperation unless there's somebody there who's leading the charge, and that's you guys. So hats off to you. All right. Now we'll take up the issue of how you want to restructure.
Well, thank you again. So in my first several months, one of my primary missions was to evaluate the organization, how we operate, look for efficiencies, and look for opportunities. And after a little over 4 months now, I'm coming before you with some of those efficiencies and opportunities that I think will set the organization up for success in our long-term future. These are not short-term adjustments that we're recommending to you. First recommendation was has already taken place, at least from the fiscal side, and that is reducing our organizational structure from two deputy chiefs and three battalion chiefs down to one deputy chief and four battalion chiefs. And for the public, our chief officer rank structure, the sheriff gives me a bad time because everybody's a chief, at the top is the fire chief. Right below me, my immediate reports are deputy chiefs, and then their immediate reports right below them are battalion chiefs. And so we are reducing one deputy chief to a battalion chief position who will oversee our EMS and our training side. And with that, the savings on that is about $27,000 a year, $27,456 a year. That took place at the adoption of this fiscal year's budget. The actual reduction of the position had already been reduced. So nobody is losing a rank over this. This was just an opportunity, as we've had quite a bit of turnover in the organization over the last year or so. The second part of this, what I'm recommending, and which will be an initial cost increase from that position, but overall we'll still see a savings from the overall organizational changes, moving our fire prevention captain, who is our lead in fire prevention, to a battalion chief's position. When we look at that position's responsibility, they are the face of the organization and often the face of the city, as they meet with developers, our business owners, those with significant changes to businesses or to their buildings. And so it is critical as a fire marshal or as the lead in the fire prevention to understand the goals and objectives of the city. Our current fire marshal does an outstanding job at that. We can be very much a stopgap in development if we are not on top of our game and if we are not moving things forward. And our fire prevention department, I can proudly tell you, moves very, very smoothly and gets often very good reviews from our developers and our business communities. In addition to that, the roles and responsibilities of that fire prevention captain have expanded over the last several years. And that includes what was adopted this year was an additional fire inspector, much needed. And again, we talked about the value of expediting the permit processes, and which will significantly help with that. And then through some grant funding, we were able to take our wildland fuels officer to a full-time position and expand our seasonal program. And that has been an extremely successful program in fuels reduction into our and our wildland urban environment. And we've been reminded several times here immediately in Carson City of the impacts of that, as well as through Northern Nevada. It has been an amazing fire season. I can't think of a better word for it, but it's been pretty devastating for our communities around here. But I'm proud to say that we have averted any structural loss because of wildland fires, and part of that goes back to our wildland fuels initiative that our fire prevention captain oversees. And then ultimately, a captain's position in the organization is really a first-line supervisor, and when you are overseeing the fire prevention department, that is really a mid-management position. And when we look at our regional partners, is really as well as nationwide, usually the lead person in fire prevention, called a fire marshal, is of at least a battalion chief rank. Often we'll find it at a deputy chief rank. We're not recommending the deputy chief rank. We're recommending the battalion chief rank. So if adopted, what this looks like, our first year with the reduction of the deputy chief to battalion and then the increase of the fire prevention captain to a battalion chief rank, we will see in the fire department budget from our last year's budget on the employee pay and benefits, we'll see a savings of $19,643. Our second year, that'll be reduced a little bit as the fire marshal will be eligible for a pay step increase. So the savings will be $9,174, again, from last year's funding. And then our third year, which will be the top step for the battalion chief's position, we would actually have a $2,000 overall increase from our 17 budget from personnel costs. So we have done a pretty good job at looking at efficiencies and cost savings in the organization, and I think this is the right move for the fire department. I'm open to questions.
Questions to the chief? Anybody? Chief, maybe you could help me on the savings side of the dollars. Run us through, because the staff note says that there's going to be an increase over a three-year period of time. You want to talk about that?
Yes. So what we did on our staff report, because of the board action adopting our budget in July, the savings was already accrued from the deputy chief to battalion chief. So we wanted to be very upfront on this, and while we recognize that there is actually going to be a savings, what we're really moving, because that has already been adopted by the board through our budget, the actual adoption process we're looking for now is the increase from captain to battalion chief in the fire prevention division. So that's where you're seeing in the staff report the actual cost increase for that position. But an overall savings we'll see for the first 2 years and then a slight increase on the third year going forward.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Public want to weigh in on this one? Anybody? I don't see any. Chief Harnison, anything?
No, I believe it's a good move forward for the department, the reorg, because our fire prevention captain truly is a fire marshal, and his rank is way too low for all of the effort, that he puts into the organization, into the city.
Okay. All right. Anything else? We're ready for a motion. Motion's in order.
I move to approve the fire department moving to one deputy chief and five battalion chiefs, which includes elevating the fire prevention captain position to a battalion chief fire marshal position.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. And please pass on our words to your troops out there. And Chief Arneson, we'll see you at your retirement party.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. All right. Now we'll take up item 14, 14 Alpha. This is a discussion with respect to awarding a contract to Peak Brothers Construction for the North Harbin Street Sewer Replacement Project. Good morning, Ms. Rader. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Want to take us through this on the top line?
I will.
All right.
Laura Rader, Purchasing and Contracts. This is to approve contract 1718-052, North Harbin Street Sewer Replacement Project to Peak Brothers Construction for a bid amount of $200,505.50 plus a contingency of $20,050.55 for a total not to exceed amount of $220,556.05. And this will come from the sewer replacement rehabilitation account.
All right. City engineer, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Good.
How are you?
Why don't you tell us why we're doing this and what it means?
Yeah, so this is a section of the system that's an old clay pipe with a flat slope. So it's in pretty bad condition. It's hard to maintain. So it's a priority project for us. You know, one thing is we only received one bid for this, but we believe for this size of project, the contractors are just really busy right now. It did come in below our engineer's estimate. We feel pretty confident that our estimate's good. You know, we have an extensive pricing database on these types of projects that we utilize for that engineer's estimate. So we feel really confident in that. So,
okay. Good. Board members, anybody want to? Public, anybody want to weigh in? Priority project, okay, let's take a motion then.
I move to determine that Peak Brothers Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1718-052 for North Harbin Street Sewer Replacement Project to Peak Construction, Inc. for a bid amount of $200,505.50 plus a contingency amount of $20,050.55 for a total not to exceed amount of $220,556.05 to be funded from the sewer replacement rehabilitation account as provided in the fiscal year 17-18.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye or punching yes.
Aye.
Yes. Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Thank you very much. Thanks for doing it. Okay. Laura, you up again? All right. We'll just take up 14 Bravo. Water meters.
All right.
Do we have water meters, or are we just? Go ahead.
All right. This is to approve our annual purchase of water meters and parts from National Meter Automation DBA Badger Meters for a not-to-exceed annual amount of $200,000 to be funded from the water meters and services account. This is something we do annually every year.
Okay. Anything you want to add, Darren?
Not really. It's pretty standard what we do here. It replaces some parts and equipment for going around and fixing our meters throughout the city. We have just under 17,000. And this is a great company. We're very happy with the product. We do check every year to make sure that their pricing is appropriate for what we're getting and as compared to other products. And again, this year they are, so we're comfortable moving forward.
All right, board members. Okay, I don't see any public want to weigh in on this one. Pretty standard idea. Okay, bring it back.
I don't have a button on here. Somebody already hit the motion, but.
Haven't hit a motion yet, but let's try it here. Okay, are we ready for motion?
Sure.
Let's see if we get a motion come up here.
I move to approve the purchase of water meters and parts from National Meter and Automation, Inc., DBA Badger Meters, for a not-to-exceed annual amount of $200,000 to be funded from the water meters and services account.
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take up 14 Charlie. This is, who's doing this one? Madam Treasurer, good morning. Who's doing this one, you or Laura? Laura, you want to take off the top line there and then see what Gail has to say, okay?
All right, so this is to approve amendment number one to contract 1415-047 with the Bank of America for purchasing card services. This is extending the term through September 17th, 2021. There was a correction in the staff report that previously, as well as now, that there was discussion that the option to renew for two additional years for two terms, that's not accurate. It's they can extend the agreement under mutual consent, and both parties are wishing to extend the contract for 4 years.
Gail, want to add anything?
No, it's pretty straightforward.
We're happy with these folks?
We are. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and you can see we are getting a rebate, an annual rebate of just over $100,000.
That's going to the general fund, right?
Yes, going under a miscellaneous revenue.
Okay, thanks. All right. All right. Board members? Hang on a minute. Hang on. Then we'll do a public comment. Don't see any motion sort of thank you, Supervisor Barrett.
I move to approve amendment number one to contract number 1415-047 with Bank of America NA for purchasing card services to extend the terms through September 17th of 2021.
Second. There's a motion and a second on the motion. A discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Thank you. All right. Who's doing the next one here on 15? On business impact statement. Iris here yet?
I don't see her, Mayor, but I'd be happy to take any questions on that. There are no comments to the impact statement.
Okay. We want to do that, or we want to wait for Iris, or what do you want to do?
We can trail this if you'd like to.
It's up to you folks.
But there is,
board members,
there
what's
no
your
issues.
Pleasure? I mean, we've all read this, but what's your pleasure?
If you want to take a vote on it.
We okay? Yeah. All right, then. Public comment, anybody? All right, then we'll take a motion on the business impact statement.
I move to accept and place a business impact statement on file with the Board of Supervisors, finding that the proposed changes to CCMC Title IV, Chapter 4.05 do not impose a direct and significant economic burden on a business, or that the proposed changes do not directly restrict the formation, operation, or expansion of a business.
Second. There's a motion and a second on the motion. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Let's take up kind of a corollary 15 Bravo. This is to introduce on first reading an ordinance amending Title IV, or a possible discussion of an ordinance amending Title IV relating to the improvement of telephone service used by the reporting emergencies. This is a 9/11 system. Kenny, you want to walk us through? I mean, I know we've talked
I'm
about
Iris.
This. You're on. Yeah, you're all right.
How you been?
This item is to be presented by Iris. She's not here right now.
Sure, if you need any help, I'm prepared to. I mean, I can talk it through. Okay, sure. So let's go with you. So basically,
well, we got. Let's for the record, we got the sheriff and the chair of the 911.
For the record, Kenny Furlong and Keith, the chair of the 911 surcharge committee. And Adriana standing in for Iris.
All right, Adriana.
So Mayor and Supervisors, this is as a result of last legislative session, and I'm trying to pull up the bill number. But what it does is allows the city to increase the 911 surcharge.
SB 176.
Thank you, SB 176, from 25 cents. To $2.50 per trunk line, and from $1 per line to $10 per trunk line. And basically what this money is going to go towards is for improvements of the telephone line system, the 911 surcharge system, or the 911, I'll let Iris, after I finish this up, for improvements to the telephone systems, as well as body cameras and also marked police car cameras, and I'll let Iris take over. And basically, you approved this with the five-year plan that came to you last meeting.
I understand that. Okay. Iris, good morning.
Good morning.
We're moving a little fast today, and I know you're probably over there wondering. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
All right.
So where are we exactly?
Well, where we are is, if there's anything to add, I think we all know what's going on with the 9/11 surcharge. And this is a first reading. It is for upgrading our dispatch system, mm-hmm. and our telephonic system, and also for body cameras. And we've been through the analysis on, why we need to do this, but we're on first reading, so I don't know if there are members of the public want to weigh in on this one. Board?
Yes.
Board members, Supervisor Binkowski.
If we turn to page 2 of the ordinance, there's a portion of this that says vehicular event recording device. It's the definition of vehicular event recording device, which means a device which is affixed to a marked vehicle of a law enforcement agency as defined in NRS 289.830 and which records both audio and visual events. And I had some conversations with Adriana and Iris and Kenny about the potential to be using cameras in unmarked vehicles, either currently or in the future. It is the opinion of our DA's office that we need to stay with the definition of NRS 289.830, which only defines the device to be affixed to marked vehicles. But I think that we need to be aware of this. And Kenny, if you have an opinion on this, if you would have plans to put them into unmarked vehicles at some point, either undercover vehicles or your own truck, or so I just want to make sure that we have a good understanding, and I don't want us getting into trouble going forward if we decide that we want cameras in unmarked vehicles, and the way I read this would not necessarily have the ability to use funds, these funds, to pay for those.
For the record, Kenny Furlong, challenging. It is. We do use a variety of types of vehicles for our services. Some of them are very low profile, and yet they are responding to the priority issues in the community. At this point in time, I'm not very optimistic that passage of the fee would allow us to put cameras into vehicles within probably the 5-year range that we're looking at in the 911 surcharge budget plan. I just don't see it. I do understand what Brad is talking about. We have some special operations vehicles that are high risk in nature, and they could likely be included in the future. And I don't know that this board would have, well, could obviously be a different board, but I don't know that the board would have the ability to change it down the road. Does that answer your question?
Well, I'm just mainly looking to get this on the table and have a discussion about it so that we're all on the same page. I question whether or not we can use the funds in this fund to pay for any cameras outside of a marked vehicle. So that means, that doesn't mean preclude us from putting them into unmarked vehicles, but I think we'd have to find another funding source to do that. And I'm looking at our legal counsel here to tell me if I'm right or wrong on that.
Well,
and it would require a definition of what's a marked vehicle. All of our vehicles are equipped with all of the emergency devices. Whether or not it has a star on the side, I don't know that is the distinguishing mark in the definition. Most of us would accept a marked vehicle as a vehicle you can look at and tell it's a police car. Most of us would. But one could argue that any vehicle equipped with all of the emergency devices in the vehicle that identify itself as a police vehicle, in other words, the lights, the sirens, the uniformed cops, the uniform itself, that's a definition that is suitable. So there is margin here. But again, I don't see us capable. I do not see me coming back in the next 5 years asking for it, because I don't know that we're going to be able to. I'm not that confident that the money is going to be there for such a dramatic change.
And just for the record, I went back and looked at the legislative history, and there really is no discussion about the difference between a marked versus an unmarked car. I think this is one of those things that you see after the legislative session is over and you actually put these things to work as you find those little nuances that don't work. So maybe this is something that we need to put on our radar for the next session, and also with the sheriff, with his association, maybe for some discussion as to whether or not what was meant by that. It could even just be a drafter thing that, you know, they put in there at the last minute, not really knowing what the fallout would be.
That was a fascinating discussion. All right. A public comment? Yeah, you should go.
So just to be clear, though, to the public, we're writing this as enabling to put the recording devices in the vehicles, but our current five-year plan doesn't have the dollars allocated to putting cameras in the cars. We're going to be starting with the body cameras, correct? I just wanted to make sure the public is clear on the steps we're going to be taking.
That's correct.
All right.
Right, that's a good point. That's a good point. Anybody else want to weigh in? Ann, anything?
No, all I would really like to say is a thank you to the 911 Advisory Committee in support of all of these changes. And we have worked with this, and we think it is important that we follow through with it for the health and safety of our community. And the Sheriff's Department, the fire chiefs, and all of the people that we have been working with are in support of this. And we would like to see us follow through, protect our community and the citizenry here. So we really urge your support of this.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to weigh in? I don't see anybody. We're ready for a motion. Motion's in order.
Bill number?
122.
I move to introduce on first reading Bill number 122, an ordinance amending Title 4, Chapter 4.05, surcharge for enhancement or improvement of telephone system used for reporting emergencies, with an estimated revenue increase of $645,000 for fiscal year 2019.
There's a motion and a second on the motion. Discussion? Hearing and seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Thank you. And
thank
pass
you.
On our thanks to your advisory committee, too, please. All right. All right. We're ready for public guardian? Ms. Marslin, come on. All right, we're going to take up, this is a presentation only. This is a report from the public guardian on the operations and status of the cases at public guardian's office. How are we doing this morning? Deborah? Okay. You're going to tell us that the caseload's going down, right? All right.
No, I'm not.
Tell us what's going on here.
Okay.
You might, for the record, too, also, you might just kind of explain what the public guardian does for people watching here.
Okay, this is, I did supply you with something that shows, this is what I do when I do presentations to civic groups and other groups in the city. It's kind of what the public guardian does and why we're needed. Each county in Nevada is mandated to have a public guardian per NRS 253-150. Carson City adopted a resolution in 2011 limiting the Carson City public guardian cases to individuals 60 years or older unless there are extraordinary circumstances. Who needs a public guardian? The NRS 253.200, the proposed protected person must be a Nevada resident, must be an adult, must have no relative or friend suitable and willing to serve as his or her guardian, or must have a guardian who the court determines must be removed pursuant to NRS 159.185. The proposed ward must be deemed incompetent to handle their personal, medical, or financial affairs by a licensed psychiatrist or physician. And so that's where our office takes over. And we're we go before the judge, and they appoint us as guardian for this for each person.
How does that get started? Does the DA or someone refer cases
yes,
to you?
Yes.
Or do you refer them to the judge? Because
we work closely with the Aging and Disability Services, the State of Nevada, Elder Protective Services, Social Services Departments, area hospitals, and care facilities, and that's 99% of where our referrals come from. So if there's an elder in need and maybe a neighbor or somebody calls EPS, they do an investigation, and then if they feel that they need a guardian, they will send a referral to us.
And then that referral goes to district court.
Right, and then we do an investigation on if there's family members or anyone that can take over as guardian before us, and then we go to court. We petition the court to become guardian.
And how many? How often do you find that, that family members do exist, but they don't want to help?
80% of the time. Or they can't for some reason. If they've got a felony, if they just have personal issues of their own that they can't deal with it, a lot of families just walk away from these people.
Okay. All right. Thanks for giving us a top-line view there. Now go ahead with your report, please.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Currently, we have 3 full-time employees, including myself. We have 2 social work interns that will be with us from the end of August 2017 through their graduation in May 2018. They work, each of them work 16 hours a week. Appropriate referrals that we get per quarter is about 6. However, that's appropriate. We get all kinds of referrals, but they're not always appropriate for our area. Some of them are different counties. The number of protected persons in facilities is skilled nursing. We have 37. Assisted living, we have 10. In their own home, we have 11. In group homes, we have 7. Out-of-state placements, we have 7. Deceased cases not closed, there are 8. We have 2 dropped cases and 1 pending right now, and then we have a pending case that we just got a referral on. Also, the fees collected last fiscal year was $122,524.76. And since July 1st, we've collected $5,820.64. Number of our cases on Medicaid or pending is 57.
And again, I know Supervisor Borkowski is going to have a question here, but just for the public, where do the fees come from?
The fees come from the clients.
And those are approved by the court, right?
Yes.
All right.
And they're also approved by the board.
Right, okay.
The board approved, I think it was in 2010, the board approved $180 per hour and 2 hours a month per client. Not obviously, not all of them can pay that, but we do what we can.
Brad, Supervisor Bunkowski.
Good morning.
Hi.
So going over the numbers that you just said, $180 an hour, 2 hours a month, that's $360.
That's correct.
Per month. When you look at the spreadsheet that you provided us, there's some of the clients that have paid significantly more than that in fees, so there must be some other actions that happen that allow you to
yes.
recover more costs. Can you kind
yes.
of go through that?
That is approved with an annual accounting through the court when they approve accounting. They approve the accounting and they approve what fees we can take.
So that's in a case
those are the one,
where, they
those
have
are
assets.
The, where they have assets.
Other questions of the board on this report? What are out-of-state placements?
Out-of-state placements, that's because we don't have a lot of resources here in Nevada that can handle some unique cases that we have. Some are the younger people that have mental health issues that need to be in a care facility. So the Medicaid, we go through Medicaid, through State of Nevada Medicaid, and they approve an out-of-state placement. So we find...
What does that mean?
That means that Nevada Medicaid pays these out-of-state facilities for their services. So we have 2 people in Idaho, 1 in Arizona, 1 in Massachusetts. Just wherever we can get a facility that'll accept our protected person.
Okay, and what's your relationship to your what are your duties as a guardian here with respect to those?
I keep in phone contact with them, and we also do care conferences quarterly by phone.
Is that something we do by statute or by choice?
Well,
you don't know the answer.
I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not sure what the answer
All right.
is.
All right. But the end of that, and I don't mean to talk about dollars all the time, but at the end is that the costs. Does Medicaid cover our costs on doing that?
Yes. They cover the transportation and everything.
All right. Board members, any other questions with Ms. Marsland?
Just as a comment, if I could. So really what your job is to ensure that the client or a resident that needs help in Carson City is getting the best possible placement for their particular need. And yes. Therefore, some of those are placed out of state because that's the best facility.
Correct.
For that individual. So it's not that we're shipping them out of state. It's that that's the best placement for the type of care that that individual needs.
I have one client that's in her 30s, and she's in Arizona at a facility that's geared toward people her age. Right. We have nothing like that in California. I mean, in Nevada, sorry.
So I think that it's really good because we have both the case management from the Carson City side, but then you have the case management from the Medicaid side, and you're working together to make sure that the residents of Carson City are getting the best possible care.
That's correct.
I just wanted to...
They have access to me 24 hours a day. In fact, I got a call last night about that particular client.
Good discussion. All right. Any other comments or questions from the board? Public comment? Anybody want to weigh in on this? I don't see any. This is a presentation only. Unless there's anything else, but I don't see any. Thank you.
Is quarterly a good amount of time so
Pardon
I can
me?
Present again in December?
I didn't hear that.
Quarterly?
Right.
Is that a good reporting time for the board?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, yes, yes, answer.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. All right. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's take up... Item 17, planning. You got enough time, Lee?
Yeah.
All right.
Good morning, Lee Plamel, Community Development. This first item for community development on the agenda this morning is for possible action to consider the continuation of the building permits for the Ormsby House project. And included in this is a report that is specified by an original extension of the permit that goes until March 15th, 2018, under the current extension that was granted by the Board of Supervisors with six-month progress reports to you along the way. And this is the last progress report date before the permit expires. It will expire in March 2018 unless a further extension is granted by the Board of Supervisors. This action is for the update. It's not to grant an extension, so it's just a report at this time. And I believe we have Kim Fegan here and the realtor to give you a report.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Kim. You ready? Come on up. How are you doing this morning? All right. I forgot your name for your Colliers, right? Ted. Okay, thanks. How are we doing over there?
We're doing very well. We're here to give you an update this morning. We entered into negotiations and an offer was made at the beginning of August, and we went into escrow on August 22nd. So we're very happy.
So you're in escrow?
Yes, we are. We have opened escrow.
Escrow's been opened with Tycor. Deposits have been made, and we're currently in the due diligence process in the early stages of it.
Okay.
We're with a qualified buyer, great group of individuals. They're investors out of California who are actually moving their families to this area. They're very excited about the project.
I'd like to say something. I'm kind of dumbfounded, so... So when if the due diligence works out all right, and I understand, you know, that there's ups and downs in those things, what do you think is this closing on there? What's your closing time?
We're anticipating a closing by the end of the year, unless something pops up that we're not aware of. But everything so far is going well. Again, we're in early stages of due diligence, and the physical inspections will happen in the next week or so. So everything's everything's going the right direction right now.
All right. And I'm sure you know, but make sure you tell them that, you know, if they need, if the buyer, potential buyer, needs help or needs something, documents out of Carson City, Public Works, where they're planning, Public Works, whatever, okay?
I believe they've contacted a couple of city officials, but over the next couple of weeks, they plan on reaching out to multiple city officials and work closely with the city to get it done.
Go ahead, Karen.
Kim, I just want to say thank you for your proactive approach on this. Appreciate it.
Well, I think, yeah, and I'd like to, I think that's a sentiment of the entire board here. I mean, you know, we all understand, you know, the due diligence periods do go up and down. But it's a great move for Carson City, and I hope it's a great move for the Lear and Fegan families as well. That's me. I don't know. That's your buyer calling me.
No, that's the public going, yahoo!
Yeah. That's the public, yeah. How to put
it
that on.
It happen in our lifetime.
How to put that on a speakerphone. That's all right. No, but, you know, that's the most that we've moved for a long time. And I know you and I have had discussions about, you know, the importance of the Ormsby House and what it means to downtown Carson City. And I trust that, you know, the new buyers are coming in with an idea that they're going to not just blow the building down, but make it somewhat what it used to be, a landmark in downtown Carson City. Is that your understanding?
So far, they've basically said that they're going to develop the property kind of status quo, hotel, casino, with a convention space. So that's the plan for now.
All right. All right. I'm tempted to stand up and clap. But I won't.
Don't do that. I won't jinx it.
So we'll just keep good thoughts. And if you need something during the due diligence period, please let us know. Okay. My phone, any of us up here, our phone's always available. And our instructions to Public Works and our staff and city manager are, you know, let's do what we can to make sure that people are satisfied on the due diligence and things of that nature, and pass on our thanks for good work. Thanks, Kim. Okay. All right, Tim. Anything else? Public want to weigh in on this? Big deal.
Where's Garrett up here?
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Kimberly, you want to say anything else?
I would just like to extend my gratitude once again for your patience and extending the permit for us. I promised you we would make this happen, and I feel like we did. And keeping my fingers crossed that everything moves swiftly and we close by the end of the year. And I do believe the same thing. This is a great thing for Carson City, and you know that's where my heart's always been. So.
Did you have one, Laura?
I was just going to comment. In the event that it does close and everything, and the buyer will need an extended period, because is it for completion by March? I just want to clarify on the record so that no inadvertent happening, I don't want to let the permit expire. So just as a reminder to Kim when she would have to come in and ask for the extension with the new buyers. I just want to.
Yeah, as we move through this process, we'll work with the building department and make sure that if we need to come for any extensions, that we'll be on top of that, yeah.
All right. Anything else? Thanks again to both of you. And we'll keep good thoughts going. If something happens in the interim here that you need some help with or you think we can work on with you, let us know. Okay? Thanks. Thanks to both of you. All right.
I move to approve the continuation of the extension of the building permit 12-52 and fire permits 12-265 and 14-556 pursuant to the Board of Supervisors' approval of an 18-month extension of the subject permits on September 15, 2016, with the permits expiring on March 15, 2018, unless the Board of Supervisors grants an additional extension prior to that date.
There's a motion and a second. Probably a lot of seconds on this one.
Yeah.
all those in favor, discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay, carried, unanimous. That was quite a little something for the morning. All right. Let's now pick up, where am I here? 17 Bravo. This is to discuss and possibly approve an abandoned public right-of-way application from Liberty Homes LLC to abandon approximately 4,920 square feet of public right-of-way on Hells Bells Road, as more particularly described in the staff report. We have Susan Dorpansky here to help us work through this. Susan, you want to tell us where we are on this and tell us what's going on?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, Board. Susan Pansky, for the record. As the mayor stated, this is a request to abandon approximately 4,900 square feet of public right-of-way on Hells Bells Road. If you'll recall, back in June of this year, this board approved a tentative map, a PUD amendment for Riverview Terrace that added three lots, and a condition of approval for that was abandonment of right-of-way that is in a pretty odd shape as Hells Bells turns the corner. As you can see on this aerial here that I'm showing. So this is the map that was approved in June of this year that has the three additional lots, and you can see the abandonment area in yellow. City staff had recommended that that be abandoned to the lot immediately adjacent because really the city has no future plans or use for this particular right-of-way. Through that review process, however, it was determined that there are some public improvements at the very bottom corner. And so what we had proposed at the Planning Commission meeting, and it was a condition of approval with the abandonment, is that approximately, I think it's a 46-square-foot area, would go to the Carson City open space parcel adjacent, and then the remainder would go to the residential parcel. So on this, you can kind of see you can see everything that would go to the residential parcel in yellow, and then there's this little bump out right here on the bottom that would go to the Carson City open space parcel, which is shown in green on this slide. Stephen Pote from Development Engineering is here. If you have questions about those improvements, I believe there's a drainage channel there possibly, as well as Ann Bollinger for Parks and Recreation is here to discuss any questions you might have. Planning Commission did recommend approval. The applicant's representative for Manhard Consulting, Chris Baker, is here if you have questions, and I'm happy to answer them as well. Thank you.
Questions of Susan? Anybody? Public comment? Anybody? Looks like the right thing to do. All right, let's take a motion. Somebody want to make a motion?
I move to approve an abandonment of public right-of-way application from Liberty Homes LLC to abandon approximately 4,920 square feet of public right-of-way on Hells Bells Road, west of the Hells Bells Road and Park Hill Drive intersection, and adjacent to the properties located at 4080 Hells Bells Road and 4021 Lapeer Drive. Assess a parcel number 010-361-06 and 010-3032-0. Let's try that again. 010-032-31, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report, and authorize the mayor to sign the order of abandonment.
There's a motion and a second, and before I take a vote on the motion, let me just say this is a public hearing, and before we vote on this, we're going to close the public hearing. Anybody want to weigh in? Public hearing? All right, then we're going to close the public hearing, and we'll entertain the motion that was just passed. There's a motion and a couple seconds on the motion discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Okay. Let's take up item 17, Charlie. Who's going to do this for us? Hope? Oh, disclosure. I'm sorry. Go. I'm sorry. This is to adopt our bill number 121. On second reading, an ordinance relating to zoning, establishing various provisions relating to amended Carson City zoning map by rescinding resolution 2001-R43, a resolution of intent affecting property zoned at neighborhood business located at 806 Randall Drive, Carson City, Nevada. And there's a disclosure. Okay.
NRS 281A.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest and abstain from participating when I have a disqualifying conflict. My partners in my real estate brokerage, NAI Alliance, have a substantial and continuing business relationship with Nevada Builders Alliance, the applicant in this matter. Because of this substantial and continuing relationship, the independence of judgment of a reasonable person in my position would be affected by this private commitment. Therefore, I will not be participating in this matter. I believe that this will go fairly quickly, so if there's no objections, I'll stay up here on the dais unless there's extended discussion, at which point I will step down.
Okay. Questions on second reading? Board? Public, anybody want to weigh in? All right. We had a discussion about this issue when we went up to first reading. I intend to vote for this, although I didn't vote for the underlying other stuff that was going on there. But I intend to vote for this because I believe that that resolution of intent is pretty much meaningless, and so this is the right thing to do. All right. On the motion for discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
We have to make the motion.
Oh, we have to make a motion.
Karen's ready.
I had a motion going.
She didn't read it yet.
No. Go.
Ordinance number?
2017-18.
Okay. I move to approve Bill number 121 on second reading, Ordinance number 2017-18, an ordinance relating to zoning, establishing various provisions to amend the Carson City zoning map by rescinding resolution number 2001-R43, a resolution of intent affecting property zone neighborhood business located at 806 Randall Drive, Carson City, Nevada, APN 009-072-01, repealing ordinance bill number 110 in 2001, and providing other matters properly relating thereto based on the findings contained in the staff report.
There's a motion and a second on the motion. Discussion? Hearing none, all now, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried.
No, okay. One
and one of four yes, one abstention. Did that show up out there on the screen when we did that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, let's take up another second reading. Second reading. Ordinance amending Title 8, Public Safety, Peace, Safety, and Morals, Chapter 8.08, and Chapter 8.09, Enforcement Provisions. Iris, you want anything happened since the first reading?
No.
Public comment? No. All right. Public, anybody want to weigh in on this before it comes under consideration for second reading and adoption? Okay, I don't see any board members. All right, we're ready for motion. Motion's in order.
Ordinance number?
2017-19.
Okay. I move to adopt bill number 120 on second reading, ordinance number 2017-19, an ordinance amending Title 8, Public Peace, Safety, and Morals, Chapters 8.08, Nuisances, and 8.09, Enforcement Provisions for Nuisances.
There's a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Have a good day.
Iris, good to have you here. All right. Let's take up item 18. This is for consideration and possible action to approve the submittal of a grant application to Secretary of State to request funding of approximately $220,000 to replace voting equipment to be used for future elections, beginning with the 2018 primary election in Carson City. Ms. Merriweather, are you going to take us up on this one, Clerk Recorder?
Yes, sir. I'm going to sit right here, though, and do it. So we have, we got, as you'll see, late material from the Secretary of State. Wayne Thornley had drafted a letter indicating the exact amount of the grant money that we will get when we apply for it. So that was good news. We had an approximate amount, but it was good to have that exact amount in writing. What I'll go over with you is the cost of the voting equipment that we, the estimate that we got was $454,975.97, minus the grant money, the balance of the funds that the county will have to finance or provide for is $223,587. We have put away in capital improvements $149,750 for this year, and the poll books that we are going to be replacing with the newer poll books, we had appropriated enough funds. There was a little bit of extra money left over for that, and so Nancy indicated that we could move that money over and help pay for the voting equipment with that, and that was $15,803. So the balance that is unfunded is $58,034, and Aubrey and I received good news that the ESNS was willing to finance the remaining $58,000 and not charge us interest or any fees until July 1st of next year, so we won't need to dig in this general fund to come up with those funds. So things are moving along. So,
okay, Supervisor Bukowski, is that you? You got a question? So. Public comment, anybody?
Sue, just for the public, I know there was an article in the paper that kind of went through it. In case anyone's listening, will you tell them about the voting machine process? Do they expect changes? Is it going to be the same as normal? What is Carson City going to do with voting machines? Okay, just put a little bit out there.
Okay. We are going with a vendor called ESNS, Election Systems and Software, and they're a very popular nationwide system that is used nationwide. Currently Arizona, New Mexico, I'm not sure about Utah, but a lot of the states are using. It's a ballot marking device, which is a little bit different than what we're using right now. We're currently using the way that when you vote and, you know, you come up and you get your voter card, and you go to the machine, that the machine actually holds the votes for, so say you have 100 voters on that machine, it will have, you know, 100 votes on there, and then at the end of the night, we have to pull those results off of each machine. The new equipment, you'll get a small piece of paper, and we're going to do a PowerPoint presentation when we do the contract, but you'll get a small piece of paper that you insert in the same type of screen. So your ballot will come up on a screen, and then you mark your ballot on the screen, and then it actually prints your results on that paper instead of having the printers. You know, I don't know if any of you noticed, we have a lot of paper changes during election time. And so this way it will alleviate having to use those paper. Our paper trail is going to be the actual ballot. So then once the ballot, you vote on the screen, it prints on the ballot who you voted for or not voted for anybody. You could, it would say, you know, no selection made. You actually take that ballot, you review that ballot again, and then you drop it into a ballot box. And the actual ballot box is what will actually count the ballot. So at the end of the night, we just have to take those results off the ballot box, and then we read those in the cartridge. The nice part about this is it's going to be a lot easier for our election workers, not only that the voter will have that piece of paper to drop into a ballot box, but the election workers will be a lot easier. They won't have to go to each machine and rely on taking those results off of each machine. It's going to be a much easier process, and I think Carson City is really going to like it, so we're excited.
And so there was a presentation that the Secretary of State's office put together with the voting machine choices. And so this grant is just to get us our share, and then you'll come back with the contract for a selected vendor.
Correct.
Okay, I just want to, again, to clarify, this is just to receive the grant from the state, from the legislation.
Yeah, this is from Assembly Bill 519, which provided $1.8 million to the 15 rural counties.
And we'll be doing the vendor selection at a future
correct, okay. And hopefully next month. Thanks.
All right. Any other comments, questions from the board? Anybody from the public? All right. Motion's in order.
I move to approve the submittal of a grant application to the Nevada Secretary of State to request funding of $231,388 to replace voting equipment to be used for future elections, beginning with the 2018 primary election in Carson City.
There's a motion and a second. On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. All right. It looks like we're through with the business orders of today. Let's now take up non-action items under item 19, Board of Supervisors. Anybody have any want to report? You do.
I just wanted to thank Robert Stansberry for working on bringing a Lake Tahoe Airstream Club First West Coast Urban Rally in Carson City from October 6th to the 8th. They'll have a bunch of Airstreams on Carson Street between the Legislative Building and the Children's Museum, and so they welcome everybody to stop by and join in their event. So I, again, just want to thank Robert for bringing that to Carson City.
What's the date of the event again?
October 6th through the 8th.
Okay. All right. If you haven't been to one of those events, they're pretty cool. Just looking at some of these Airstreams, so they're rather amazing. Okay. Yeah. Anything else from the board? Let me just also mention while we're talking about upcoming things, Sunday night at 6 o'clock, September 10th, there will be a 9/11 memorial ceremony at Mills Park near the IB.
What time?
6 o'clock. Okay. Anybody else? Nothing. City manager shaking his head. Any board members? All right. Unless there's an objection, then we will take up public comment. How's that? You were waiting for me to go by it, weren't you? All right. This is time for concluding public comment. Anybody? Okay, I don't see any, so we'll close off public comment, and now we'll say, unless there's an objection, we'll adjourn. Objection? None. We're adjourned. Yeah, Don. We did that for you, Don, so you can have the day off. Yeah.